Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Wednesday, November 29th, 2017. I'm your host today, Scott Burton. It's good to have you with us. On today's show, we'll hear about an upcoming quilt show and sale featuring works by the late Sally Short. We'll learn about the senior dinner hosted by members of the Coast Guard. Brian Crapo and Mark Stauffer will highlight this Friday's Nativity Walk at the LDS Chapel near Auk Lake. We'll get an update on Eagle Crest. And we'll find out what's happening at Annie Cale's during this year's Gallery Walk. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more right here, live and local on a Juno afternoon. Currently 38 degrees and overcast here in the capital city.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Women's advocates say President Trump's use of the name Pocahontas, repeatedly used as a jab at U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren, is not only disrespectful to tribes, but is harmful to Native women. Advocates say the story of Pocahontas, a Pamunkey Indian, is too often romanticized. They say, in fact, it's a story about kidnap and rape, and say her story sadly resonates with Indigenous women today. Amber Crotty is an advocate and Navajo Nation lawmaker.
Like many, many Navajo and Native women and children, the violence that they had to endure, the sexual assault, the trauma, the intergenerational trauma that continues to permeate in our communities, to dismiss, minimize that story, or to make her invisible from who she is as a human at this modern age, to explain to people why that's inappropriate is very exhausting.
Crotty says President Trump's use of the term minimizes the stories of sexual assault survivors.
And we know in our communities we have all been touched by violence. It's almost a common thread throughout Indian country for women and children is this experience with violence. And so in minimizing Pocahontas' experience, they're minimizing our experience and our existence. Where we deal with that on a daily basis, it's our reality. And to not have that acknowledged at the highest office, then we can see why we have issues with public safety. We can see why our education system is substandard. We could see why our land is exploited. It's because how they see us and treat us is as invisible.
According to the National Institute of Justice, more than 84% of American Indian and Alaska Native women have experienced violence in their lifetime, with more than 90% of violence committed by non-Native perpetrators who often act without punishment. Lucy Simpson, executive director of the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center, in a statement said, "Statistics such as these are perpetuated by the stereotypes associated with images and names of Native women, which is damaging and promote violence." The Women's Resource Center is among other national Native organizations to release statements this week denouncing President Trump's use of Pocahontas. The president made the reference during a Native American co-talkers event Monday at the White House. The Kalispell tribe is taking a stand against a proposed factory that could be built in Newport, Washington. Steve Jackson has more.
On Monday, the tribe's governing council unanimously passed a resolution opposing the high-test silicon smelter. Several local lawmakers, including Ponderay County commissioners, have promoted the plant as bringing as many as 150 good-paying jobs to the community. But the tribe worries the proposed facility will sacrifice the health of future generations. They cite figures from high-test's own draft modeling that shows the plant would emit some 320,000 tons of greenhouse gases, 760 tons of sulfur dioxide, and 700 tons of nitrogen oxide each year. The Kalispell Tribe Natural Resource Executive Director, Dean Osterman, explains what that means in real-world terms.
You know, that's equivalent to 65,000 cars, each driving 11,000 miles in like a circle around Newport per year. So it's a significant amount of greenhouse gases. The sulfur dioxide is equivalent to 165,000 wood stoves burning continuously at a single point.
They say the company failed to consult with the tribe when it originally selected the town of Usk on the reservation as an initial site for the plant. They also questioned high-test's commitment to transparency after it failed to disclose the emissions information for a year and failed to meet with local citizens before choosing the Newport site. The tribe is asking the county commissioners to reconsider their support for the smelter. I'm Steve Jackson reporting from Spokane.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians, advising us all to protect the circle of life. Help prevent the spread of the flu by getting a flu vaccine each year. Learn more at aaip.org. Support from AmeriCorps Vista, whose members fight against poverty while earning money for college and gaining skills, with rewarding service opportunities around the country and info at AmeriCorps.gov/Vista.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon on Wednesday, November 29th, 2017. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 6 minutes after the hour. In the studio now is Sarah Isto and Corinne Geldhoff, and we're going to be talking about a quilt show and fine art sale happening this Friday. It's part of the big First Friday Gallery Walk in McPheeters Hall. Welcome to the show, Sarah and Corinne.
Thanks for having us.
Nice to have you here. Should we start with you, Sarah? Tell us a little bit about how this sale and this tribute to Sally Short came to be.
Well, I'd be happy to. Sally Short is an interesting person, born in London during the war and was farmed out to people in the provinces when the bombing started, and eventually got a degree in laboratory science and decided that she wanted to see the world. So she went to New York and worked for 3 years there, and she went to Hawaii, worked on fish things there, went to Fairbanks, which is where I met her, and she met her husband, Eric Forer. They were married and then moved down to Juneau, and shortly thereafter, my husband and I did.
And you met just 40 years ago?
40 years ago, more than 40 years ago.
And Sally, we should say, passed in 2015, is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
And Sally was always very artistic. She did photography for a while, and she did batik work. And then in about 1990, she started doing quilts. And that was an important form for her. She gave most of the quilts and things that she made away. She made runners and hangings and so on. But this year, her husband is cleaning up the things in storage, and found several boxes of quilts and hangings, which he donated to Holy Trinity to be sold.
Okay.
And, so we're delighted to be able to show people the kind of quilting she was doing.
You were telling me that she had a unique style. How would you describe it?
Eclectic, I guess. And she's very attentive to color and shapes, unusual shapes and colors. One of the pieces even has her own batik work on it with a big octopus, and it's sort of a hanging in the shape of a kimono.
Wow.
And it's, in general, her work is something that makes you smile. It's beautiful and it's bright.
Okay, so about how many of her pieces will be for sale?
17.
Okay. And in addition to that, Corinne, tell us what else we can look for on Friday.
Well, we have 8 pieces of original framed fine art that have been donated to the church through our resale shop, The Mustard Seed. And I think one of the highlights of the 8 pieces is a John Svensson piece, who is a Haynes artist, and as well as a world adventurer and mountain climber and rock climber and ice climber. And he ascended Denali 12 times.
Wow.
And worldwide he has gone through a lot of the different peaks. We have a wood block print of his in a limited edition series. This is the number 4 out of 100. And it's basically climbers that are dangling, kind of bivouacking under a full moon. It's a lovely piece. It's signed and it's custom framed, and it's a small piece, but it's I think buyers might be interested and collectors might be interested in it.
And that's one of eight.
That's one of eight. Yes.
That will be for sale this Friday at Holy Trinity Church, starting at 4:30. Sarah, back to you for a minute. You were saying that some of Sally's quilts aren't actually finished.
There are two or three unfinished pieces, so people who are quilters might be particularly interested in picking something up and finishing them in collaboration.
With Sally?
Yes.
What's one of your favorite memories of Sally?
Well, she was always liked to laugh and have a good time, and you could not go for a walk on the beach with her without her finding some interesting piece of driftwood or unusual rock. And so I learned that if you were going to do that, you need just to carry a backpack with you because you had to come back with something.
Sounds like fun. And now people can collaborate with Sarah in these last three quilts.
With Sally.
Yeah, or,
yes.
Excuse me. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So again, this is McPheeters Hall. Give us the details, please, for this Friday.
We'll start at 4:30 and go till 7. And we will also have any remaining things there the following day on Saturday in the afternoon. We'll have the usual, a little snack or something.
Okay, and where do the proceeds go?
The proceeds go to Holy Trinity.
Okay.
And we're really grateful to have these beautiful things for people and to give some money to the church.
If people want more information, how can they get it?
They can call the office at Holy Trinity, which is open in the afternoons. I'm perfectly happy to answer questions if somebody wants to phone me. I'm in the phone book. Sarah Isto.
Thank you, Sarah. Corinne Geldhoff, also in the studio. They'll be at McPheeters Hall starting 4:30, although I imagine you're there more often at the Mustard Seed, Corinne. Is that right?
That's right, and we will have the Mustard Seed open during the hours of the showing.
And how would you describe the Mustard Seed as a store?
It's wonderment.
All right.
Wonderment. We are exclusively based on donations that we get, and it's not just from parishioners. It's from all over Juneau and beyond. And a lot of things come to us as a result of people cleaning out their loved ones who have passed on, such as Sally. And in addition to the quilts, Eric, Sally's witherer, donated, I think, about 15 boxes last year of her household items.
All right. Thanks again, Sarah Isto, Corinne Geldhoff. They'll be at McPheeters Hall this Friday from 4:30 to 7. Thank you both.
Thank you for having us.
Knows nobody.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon on Wednesday, November 29th, about 18 minutes past the hour. In the studio now is Juan Guevara and Cui Nguyen, and we're going to be talking about the Chief Petty Officer's Coast Guard Senior Dinner that's coming up on December 10th. Welcome to the show, gentlemen. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Cui, should we start with you? Tell us a little bit about what the Chief Petty Officer's Association is and how this dinner came to be.
Sure. So the CPOA, we're a nonprofit organization, and we were formed to take care of our members and their dependents who may have urgent need for assistance. And also we support the goals of the Chief Petty Officer Academy and also to be involved in our local community. So this dinner, it started back in 1974. It's about 10 chiefs. They made up holiday dinners, and then they brought it over to the local seniors center. And they fed about 50 seniors when it first started. Now today, last year, we had 60 members, and we fed over about 225 local seniors last year.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Okay. Juan, do you want to give us the details on this year's event?
Sure. So the seniors dinner is going to be on the 10th of December. Doors open at 4, and we're going to start with a social hour, so it's a time for people to come together with friends. We'll also have Santa, so you'll be able to take a picture with Santa, and we'll have some people that are going to process the pictures and then take it directly to the table. And usually dinner starts around 5, and we go to about 7. During the seniors' dinner, we also like to sell our wagon load of cheer raffle tickets, and then the drawing is held at the end of the night.
Okay, so pictures with Santa, so it sounds like seniors should be bringing their grandkids?
No.
Okay.
No, this is purely seniors, and if they have caregivers, we also invite their caregivers.
And the event is free for seniors, obviously, and we also have transportation available from them. It's provided by Caravan, and if they like to reserve transportation, they could call 463-6194.
And get your pens out, and we can repeat that here in a couple minutes. Okay, so social hour starts at 4.
Yes, sir.
And it's free to seniors. What's on the menu?
Well, we have IGA smokes turkeys for us, and then we have pretty much a holiday meal. We have the Breeze Inn. They donate pies that they bake for us. So this is truly a community event because there's a lot of people and local businesses that support this event. And Foodland, they donated the $700 worth of food that comprises the wagon load of cheer. And again, Caravan donates the ride. So, and then along with that, we have donations from the Ray Munoz Gallery, North Star Trekking, Coastal Helicopters, the Baranoff Hotel, Capital Hair and Nails, Bullwinkle's Pizza, Art Matters, South East Mining Supply, National Shrine of St. Teresa, Heritage Coffee, and the employees of the Residential Mortgage.
So okay. And do you guys need any more donations or volunteer help, anything like that?
They're always welcome, of course. Not only do we raise money for this year's dinner, but we try to also raise money for years that come in. So.
Okay.
So, yeah, definitely, they're always welcome.
So we'll be at this Friday at downtown IGA selling raffle tickets, our wagon loaded chair raffle tickets from 2 to 6, and then Saturday at Super Bear from 10 to 5, and Sunday at Sportsman's Warehouse from 10 to 5 also. So if you see us, come on down and support the cause.
Okay. And then get ready for the dinner itself on December 10th. Starts at 4 p.m. Juan, can you remind us, if somebody wants to get a ride from Caravan, what number should they call?
That number again was 463-6194.
Okay, and do they need, other than that, do they need to make reservations or anything like that?
Nope. We have plenty of food. All we just need the seniors to do is come on out and show up, and we'll feed you and, you know, have a good time, some fellowship, and, you know, reminisce about some old days. Normally, this is like a good opportunity for a lot of the seniors to kind of have a little reunion with each other. So, and that's why we have the pictures, and then we give them the pictures shortly after they're taken, and then they can use have that as some memories.
Okay. If somebody wants more information on all of this, how can they get it?
They can give me a call. My phone number is... what's my number?
it's probably an auto dial somewhere. So
624-2082.
All right, 624-2082. Well, you guys, thank you for coming on the show, and thanks for putting on this great event. Is there anything else that you'd like to add about it?
The last thing I would say is if you know of any senior citizens who have not attended this event in the past, this is a great time to bring them out. Or get a hold of us, and we'll do our best to get them to the event. I know in previous years it's been upwards of 400 people that have shown up. So we actually had a low number last year, and meaning, you know, we need to do a better job of getting the word out. So thank you for having us and giving us this opportunity to do that.
Right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take a look at my life, I'm a lot like you. I need someone to love me the whole day through. support comes from the Longliner Lodge, a waterfront hotel in Sitka featuring 14 rooms and suites appointed with refrigerators, TVs, microwaves, coffee pots, and more. Located 5 minutes from the airport and a 10-minute walk from downtown. Online at longlinersitka.com.
Peace, love, and joy from Sea Alaska Heritage. When you shop at Sea Alaska Heritage Store, you're supporting Southeast Alaska Native art, languages, and cultural programming all year long, making it the best place to buy Alaska Native art and gifts. Stop by the Walter Soboloff Building Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 6, and Saturday, 10 to 5. This message brought to you by Sea Alaska Heritage.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Wednesday, November 29th. Right at the bottom of the hour in the studio now are Brian Crapo and Mark Stauffer. They're both from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and they're here to talk about this Friday night's Nativity Walk. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good to be here.
It's nice to have you here. So this is the new building, the new chapel up from Swampy Acres, right?
That is correct. Yeah, we have two chapels in Juneau, and this is the newer one that is the fairly prominent brick structure, as you said, right near Swampy Acres, close to Engineers Cutoff.
And before we went on the air, you were saying it's now been open for about 3 years. Does that sound about right?
Three or four? We're debating, is it 3 or 4 years? The time just flies, but yeah, somewhere right in there. It's still fairly new.
Okay. And remind us where the other one is.
The other building that's been here since the 70s is the one that's, it's a little hard to see. It's over by Western Auto on the other side of the street from there, near the bus stop, kind of tucked back in the trees there.
Okay. And had you guys been doing the Nativity Walk there before the new church? Tell us about the history of the Nativity Walk.
There has been a Nativity Walk or several there over the years. How many congregations we got in Juneau?
We got four.
So in the past, there one would do it, another would do it, kind of disjointedly. But this time, we decided all the congregations, all four, would participate together, and do it at the new building.
Okay, Mark, you want to give us some details on when it starts and what people can expect?
Yes. We'd like to make this an annual event, so even though it's occurred irregularly in the past, we want to let the community know that we'll be doing this year after year so they can count on it. It's this Friday, December 1st, from 6 to 8 p.m., and people can come and go as they want anytime during that time period. You can spend as little time as you want, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, to take a look at the beautiful nativity displays. If you have children, there are activities for kids. If you want to stay longer, you're welcome to stay as long as you'd like. We can give you a tour of the new chapel if you'd like. And it's free.
Okay. So I imagine it's beautiful to look at. What else do you hope that people get when or take away from when they're looking at the Nativity? What do you guys get?
Well, I think it's an opportunity to kind of put aside a little bit of the hustle and bustle that accompanies Christmas, the shopping and everything else, and come in and look at these nativities and remember what Christmas is about, which is the birth of the Savior. And that's what we're, you know, hoping to represent, and that's a belief shared by many people in the community. So that's something we share in common. That's kind of why we want to reach out and invite other peoples of faith or not of faith that just want to see some beautiful displays and just enjoy that experience in the holiday season. And there's quite a bit of variety from my understanding. I haven't seen all the displays, but we got a pretty good international flavor. We've got some from Guatemala, Honduras, and one that I thought sounded pretty interesting is an olive wood set that is made from trees that grew near Jerusalem. So that's pretty neat. I know of one that's being made probably as we speak right now. He's probably working on his scroll saw right now and finishing one off. So just lots to see.
Okay.
We have members from Tonga, and they usually bring some Polynesian ones.
Okay. And give us the times again once more.
6 to 8 p.m., Friday, December 1st.
And, it's hard to miss, right? Just going towards the university, past Swampy Acres, up the hill on your left.
That's right.
That's right. And maybe for the Google Map users, the address is 10585 Glacier Highway.
Okay. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
Maybe just briefly mention that if you have kids, three and up, we have some activities for them to do while the parents go look at the nativities if they want to do something else. We've got some coloring books, and they'll be able to make some ornaments. So there's some options maybe of more interest for the smaller kids.
There's a story corner and some nativities that the kids are encouraged to touch and rearrange and do with as they like.
Sounds good. If somebody wants to learn more about your church, what's the best way to do that?
I would say just come, and we'll be happy to talk with you. And anytime. People are always welcome to stop by the building during any of our services or any other time.
Great. Thanks for your time, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the Spirit felt his worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder's break a new and glorious on your knees. Oh, hear the angel's voice. Oh, night divine. Oh, the night when Christ was born. Oh, night, oh, holy night, oh, night divine. May we Lanella, où l'on met Dieu, descendit jusqu'à nous. Pour effacer la tâche à Rede Janelle, aider son père, arrêter le carreau. Le monde dompté, tressaille d'espérance à cette tenue qui lui donne sauveur. Feu à genoux. tan ta de lebrase no
Are you retired from the state of Alaska? Did you previously participate in the state's SHARE campaign in support of United Way and its partner agencies? Now that you're retired and not able to participate in the SHARE campaign, there's still a way to continue your support of United Way and their partner agencies. Visit UnitedWaySEAK.org, click on Donate, and sign up for an automatic monthly contribution. Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. This message brought to you by the United Way.
You're listening to a Juno afternoon here on Wednesday, November 29th, about 20 minutes until the top of the hour. In the studio now is Jenna O'Fontanella and Rick Clare. They're both artists who will be displaying at Annie Kales during this year's First Friday Gallery Walk this Friday. Rick and Jenna, welcome to the show. It's nice to have you.
Thanks, Scott.
All right. Rick, you want to start with you? Tell people aren't familiar with your art. How would you describe it?
It's kind of all over the place. I paint in pretty vivid colors, and which I guess is just kind of a response to the environment here sometimes. You know, we don't have a lot of sun, and of course this time of the year it's getting pretty dark, and the snow fortunately kind of brightens things up, but if we don't have the snow, it's just shades of gray.
Okay.
So,
and you paint in oil?
Oil, on canvas, or hard masonite on panel. But, yeah, and it's just I don't paint outside. I work in my studio, and most of the ideas just kind of come out of my head, although Alaska's landscape, animals, people sort of, you know, figure into it. So that's this, kind of the substance, I guess, the subject matter.
Okay.
But nothing that... I don't know, that you're going to really recognize locally.
Okay. How about you, Jenna? How would you describe your art?
Okay, I was going to say that Rick's paintings make me happy whenever I see them.
Thank you.
Well, I would say it's ever evolving. And so right now, so I've done many different mixed metal pieces and one of a kind, I would say, although I do... pieces for people, custom pieces. But now I've been kind of drooling over this artist for years, and her name is Deb Karash, and she's out of North Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina. And I have loved her art, and Rick Clare kind of inspired me in that direction too, because she just brings color into her art. And so this is a technique of drawing with colored pencils on metal, and there's a whole process to it, but it's a way to bring color to metal, and it's really cool.
And bracelets, earrings?
Yes, all of the above, rings. With the drawing on metal, it doesn't wear as well with rings or bracelets, so it's mostly pendants and earrings. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was just going to say, Scott, this is the second time Jenna and I have kind of collaborated, or at least had shows together at Annie Kales. And, you know, so many people show up to see her work, and which is always kind of new and exciting, and I'm hoping that maybe I get a spinoff from a fan of hers. So
it's the other way around.
Her work is really exceptional, and I'm just glad to kind of be able to share the spotlight with her.
It's fun to team up with another awesome artist.
How many pieces will you have, Rick?
It depends on how many are dry.
I'm so glad to hear you say that.
Well, it's funny because, I've known about this for over a year, and yet right down to the last minute,
it's always the case.
I'll either get a new idea for a painting and start something new or decide, hey, this one it's not what I'm looking for, so it's not going to work, and I have to come up with something else. So it's always kind of a mad dash to the finish line here, being tomorrow when Colleen said that we have to be on hand to have our work ready, and so it'll be an all-nighter, I guess, tonight.
If you could describe, let's start with you, Jenna, one of your pieces that you're proud of in this show to our listeners. I'm sure you're proud of all of them, but pick one.
Actually, that's not true that I'm all. I think it's just I don't know if you go through that as a painter, but there's so many moods to a piece, and that is what's so interesting that I like. I did a show once that's called Metamorphosis with a group of people, and I think that that's really true of jewelry, is that, you'll have a plan, you'll have an idea, and then you start with good intentions, and then something completely else happens. And usually in that, there's a whole series of emotions that occur, and hopefully by the end, you feel okay about it. But like Ric Flair says, there's some things you just scrap because it's just not the way you wanted it to go. So a piece that I'm proud of. I think just the drawing on metal is for me like tapping into a different dimension that I didn't know about and that I had. And I'd never thought that I was somebody that could draw. But it's pretty fun to experiment with color and to bring that into the pieces. So I just say, those pieces I'm really having a good time with.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about you, Rick?
Every once in a while, I used to have shows. I try to do two a year back when I had a studio downtown, and I try to have a spring show and a winter show, and that hasn't worked out because I've had some other things going on, some family issues. My mom is getting older. She's 94, and my brother's had some health issues. So I've been out of town a lot, which will kind of be obvious when you see the pieces, because there's no common thread running through them. They're all just, it's just kind of a mess. But every once in a while, I like to take on social commentary. And we've got so many issues going on in the country, in the world today. The mass shootings.
On and on.
And so I like to make, I think if you're a visual artist, I think you have to at some point make a comment somehow on what you perceive as a real problem, and that maybe somebody looking at the piece you've done will say, wait, yeah, let's do something about that. Mm-hmm. That's probably more than I can expect to hope for, but it's still something I feel kind of the urge to do.
Okay. Can you both give us the details about Friday? When are you going to be there? Tell us about the reception.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
Right, Jenna?
Yes, 4 o'clock Friday at Annie Kale's. And then I think I've never done gallery walk, but you probably have. But I think it's pretty crowded, so people should probably come early.
Yeah, I think the first Friday in December was the traditional gallery walk, the first one, right. And then it kind of extended into all the other months. But there should be a lot of people out and about shopping for Christmas, and getting out on the street,
especially. And I love gallery walk.
Yeah,
it's a nice feel to it. I heard it's supposed to be sunny.
And I imagine your work will be there for the month of December and beyond. Do both of you keep work at any kales? Or
the month of December?
The pieces will hang, I think, for the month. But, I have a small space there in Kales, which is really, really nice. There, Colleen, the owner, is she's really easy. Easy to work with. Juno has so many great artists that it's just really an honor to kind of be included in that group.
So with this, you could support two local artists by locally made art from a locally owned shop.
It's true. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And she's doing an incredible job. What she brings to our community is phenomenal. And being an artist there, she treats you so well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's really, it's a pleasure.
I agree, totally. It's just a fun place to be at and to be around.
Yeah. All right, that's the voice of Rick Clare, a painter. You can meet him this Friday at Gallery Walk if you haven't already. And Jenna O'Fontanella, jewelry artist. How would you... the first Friday, big gallery walk at Annie Kale starting at 4 p.m. Thank you both for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Be part of our studio audience for the next TV recording of Writer's Showcase, Thursday, November 30th at 7 p.m. Reading work by Alaska writers Clint Farr, Mary Kudinoff, and Heather Lindy, local actors Christina Apathy, Donnie Gott, and Elizabeth Pysel Davis take us skating on thin ice in Haines, a springtime beach walk in Anchorage, to a pecan harvest in Georgia. That's Writer's Showcase, Thursday, November 30th at 7 p.m. right here at KTOO. Admission is free. And you're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Wednesday, November 29th, about 9 minutes till the top of the hour. In the studio now is Jeffra Cloud, down from Eagle Crest. She's the Director of Sales and Marketing and the Snow Sports School. Jeffra, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on the show this afternoon, Scott.
Is this our first update of the year? Have you been on already?
No, this is actually my third time already.
Wow, I missed you.
Yes, yes. But no, we're ready and the season is getting rolling.
This weekend?
This this weekend. Yep, we're happy to announce that we're going to be able to open up the Porcupine Chair this weekend, Saturday. It'll operate Saturday and Sunday from 9 to 3, and the Lower Nordic Trails will be open as well. The Snow Sports School is offering lessons. The Rental Shop is open. Eagle Crest Grill is open. Mountain Lift Coffee. So it is going to be a great time on the mountain. I just want people to realize that the snow bus will not be operating this weekend. So watch for update on that to come. But, you know, we're happy to get the Porcupine Lift spinning this weekend.
If somebody's never been to Eagle Crest before, how would you describe the Porcupine Chair and what's available this weekend?
The Porcupine Chair is a great area to learn on, or this time of year is a great area to go get back on your skis, get back on your snowboard, get some turns in, and find those ski and snowboarding muscles. We do have lessons on the books for Saturday, so we've got some people that are excited to start their winter out right with lessons. So we do have lessons and instructors available, so you can give us a call up at the mountain or find out more information at skijuno.com. But we've got two runs that'll be groomed and open on the Porcupine Chair. I skied it a little bit on Sunday, and Nate and the mountain operations crew has done an awesome job making some snow this year, and we're going to reap the benefits of it this weekend.
I have a question for you. Out of 10 new people to snow sports that you see every year, how many are taking up skiing and how many are taking up snowboarding, would you say?
You know, it seems to be it's more like 70% skiing and 30% snowboarding, but it seems to always fluctuate just a little bit, and I just have this theory that when we have the snowboard instructors call in sick, that's when everybody wants to take snowboard lessons.
Of course, right?
Yeah, but I think it varies, and what I tell everybody is, you know, try one, try them both. You can pick which one you enjoy. Many people do both and enjoy both, so it's just a great way to get up and enjoy winter on the mountain.
For more information, where should people go?
They can find us at skijuno.com, and they can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat.
And what time is the Porcupine open on Saturday?
Lift will start spinning at 9 a.m. Saturday morning.
All right, Jeffrey Clow, thank you so much for coming on the show.
All right, thanks, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon. Tomorrow on the show, we'll find out more about relativity and quantum mechanics with Mark Finkelstein, this week's UAS Evening at Egan speaker. We get a preview of Perseverance Theater's current production of Steel Magnolias. Mercedes Munoz will talk about her first Friday exhibit at the Jack. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up to let us all know about everything going on this big first Friday gallery walk. And looking at the weather, it's currently 38 degrees, and the forecast for tonight calls for rain showers before midnight, then rain and snow showers. And Thursday, rain and snow showers, high near 35. Friday calls for scattered snow showers before noon, then isolated snow showers after 3 p.m., partly sunny. with a high near 34 for the first Friday forecast, and Saturday calls for a 50% chance of snow after 3 p.m. Thanks for tuning in to a Juneau Afternoon.